forget the barometer, it's the Zellometer.
What?
No tapping and plenty of talking.
Yes.
Those are the requests from the people.
The people.
They said,
my
Kyo,
people.
You stop breathing. Zells, you stop talking. Beautiful day in Cape Town. The rain.
I don't know, mate.
It's come and gone. I've had a first world problem this morning. We were delayed for filming because we had gardeners here. The garden service was here.
Time is money.
After the pool service was here. It's great to live in Cape Town.
I love this guy.
Thanks for the kwakan and the coffee this morning.
Yes. Delicious.
The Vodacom URC league stage has come and gone, Zells. Is it everything you thought it would be?
Where to begin? Great. I mean, absolutely. If you told me, you know, a month or two ago, South African team in second place, third place, fifth place, unlucky for the Lions, I would have taken that without a second thought. So I don't know how they did it, mate, but kudos to the Bulls and the Sharks and the Stormers for their recovery. We've got three South African teams in the top five, two of them hosting quarterfinals. Absolutely fantastic. You spoke about it, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, about how in all of these competitions, you've got these teams that lose half their games that are contesting the playoffs. It's an interesting trend that, because historically, you kind of have a team that dominates, you have a team that's close to dominating. You know, the top four are pretty serious teams. But in the URC, you know, you watch some of those games, you've spoken about it before, some of those performances, you're not really convinced. So hopefully... South Africa is renowned for being a knockout nation when it comes to rugby. Let's hope everybody clicks into gear now and plays their best rugby against teams that are going to be offering some real resistance.
If you look at the URC, I mean, for me, the big surprise, not a surprise that the Sharks finished in the top four, given the quality of player, but somehow they managed to finish in the top four with the quality of performance, which at best was between 50 and 60%. I don't think there's been a game that they've really hit their straps. They've relied on individual brilliance. They've relied on a bit of tenacity. When you look at that squad and you think, I think especially that Leinster game, 10-7, they lost against effectively a Leinster B Academy team with a few big names in it.
Yeah.
The Geordie Barretts of the world.
Good bench player.
They didn't even play those guys. They went home. Yeah. Snyman and him didn't even play. So yeah, the Academy / veteran team. And then to put the Scarlets away, 12-3, put them away 12-3. And they relied on a late penalty from that wonderful fluff. Apaleli Fasi showed his range of skill sets. He kicked three penalties, 12-3. You're just thinking, this Sharks team should be dismantling teams. They should be doing to the second tier teams, the second half outside of the top eight, what a Leinster did to a Zebre, 76-5 at home. What is the Stormers, when they got it right, 56-5 against Benetton. Effectively the Italian national team.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't seen that kind of performance from the Sharks.
Well, yeah. That is
and so individually, I mean, we've picked our own form 15s, which we'll go through just now. But for them to actually end up third.
Incredible.
It's mind-boggling. And Glasgow fourth.
No, exactly. And I mean, so the Sharks are going to host Munster in next week's quarterfinal. What are Munster going to take out of that game? I mean, maybe that was the objective. But for me, the highlight of that Sharks game was the fact that Evan was fit to play. And he played the entirety of the game. I mean, that he got through it without being injured, I think is the best news that came out of that thing. Sharks were close to diabolical. Like, they were terrible.
And if you think, like, the Stormers, one game that may have gone, just say the Bulls game in Cape Town. Clayton Blomkies misses a kick from in front of the poles. They win that game. They get an extra. They get 5 points. Or they just win one of those games you thought they should have won on tour, an Ulster game. And then they end fourth. And the Sharks third. And the Bulls second.
I mean, wow.
And the one thing we always can be guaranteed about that the Lions will be outside the top eight and outside the top 10, 11. They got the win. It was a romantic ending. But again, a slog in a battle, 29-28, against a team that has come over from Wales. Wales, been here for 2 weeks. At the Highveld, those Lions guys should be pumping them. They ran out of puff, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Lubs Dabela scored in the corner for the winner. Fantastic result for them. You can see the emotion, everybody involved, and to send off Edwill and Marius Lowe with the win, yeah, was big. But great that they won, but disappointing way the season went. But at the same time, as bad as the Lions were, you can't say they were significantly worse than the Sharks at times this season, and one of those teams is in the top three. So,
and they beat the Stormers in Johannesburg.
Exactly.
They put together some great, good performances.
Yeah.
But they don't have the depth.
They don't, mate. They have injuries,
that squad.
It's over. No.
And they lose one or two big name players.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
The Sharks have the depth. The Bulls have the depth through purchasing a lot of players.
Yeah.
And the Stormers just have an incredible way of finding. That's the Sirens, probably a few more Stormers down. But finding local players to come in and actually do the business. Dobbo certainly maximized what he's had. You know, they came fifth. And I always trumpet the Stormers. Three of the best fly-offs in the world. At times, they had none of them available. Steven Kitsoff, with Oxenchair, the best two lucids in the world, played a Curry Cup game at the end of his career. Unfortunate neck injury and operation. Francois Malaba, they've hardly seen him this year. He's crocked. Dion Ferry fights to get back. He's gone. BJ Dixon, he's gone. To basically go on that winning run, end with 55 points, in fifth place, I thought was a huge effort from them to get so close to a top four and qualify for the Investec Champions Cup next season.
Yeah.
And they just got stronger despite the injuries as the season kind of progressed. But great that there's three of the South African
superb.
Top four
superb.
Are there at the end.
Superb.
We're coming for it all, man. We're coming for it all. And we just got to convert that with a bit more squad depth so we can really challenge in the Champions Cup next season. I'm looking forward to that. For next season, I think you're going to see a bit of a different approach from the South African side, who may say we're going to put everything in here to kind of get the league win to put us in a position for a potential home quarterfinal, semi-final in the Champions Cup, because they've now seen you can qualify on 10, 11 wins out of 18.
Correct.
And once you get to the playoffs, anyone can win. And I think Northampton Saints' victory against Leinster at the Aviva Stadium has given a lot of teams hope that the 6 inches are lacking there, despite how good Leinster's been in the past, and that they, in knockout rugby, feel that they become particularly vulnerable. To see them smash the Warriors 52-0 in a quarterfinal.
Exactly.
Or semi-final of a quarterfinal of the Investec Champions Cup, and then beat that very similar Glasgow team 13-5. That's a month. And that's what makes this whole competition structure so weirdly wonderful.
Well, that's
is you never get say. On it. You never get on a roll. So just as you find momentum, you break for a month. You go to another competition. Just as you build momentum, you're back to another one.
But I think that's what makes the URC playoffs potentially that are upcoming so interesting is you've got Leinster there, massive question mark around their temperament, their BMT, their ability to close out the big ones. Then you've got the Bulls, who we've spoken about their form and their performances, but their results have been great. Same for Sharks. You've got Glasgow, the defending champions, who've kind of been a little bit up and down, but you feel like they've got the firepower and they, you know, primed to do it again kind of thing. Stormers are finding they're hitting their straps at the right time of the season, a very dangerous team in fifth place. Then you've got Munster, who are going to have to be on the road to win this tournament. They've done that before, so that's an intriguing narrative. Edinburgh with Sean Everett, a word you love to use, plucky. You kind of feel that about them. And then Scarlets with the whole question mark around the future of Welsh rugby and how many teams they're going to have in the URC. Are they potentially playing for their future? This might be their last playoff run in URC history. I don't know. You never know.
So well, they thought that one Welsh team will go.
Yeah.
They can't have four teams. The depth isn't there. We've seen that in Australia. The minute they lost a team, their rugby's improved because those players went into other squads. Either first choice or reserve depth. If you wanted to be brutal about the URC, I would say chop Zebre, chop one of the Welsh teams and chop the Lions. Reduce it by three, get a bit of breathing space into the season. They have solved all their problems.
Can't we bring in one of the Super Rugby guys, mate? Bring
alternatively,
the Crusaders over.
Alternatively, bring in the Cheetahs and Griquas combined. I wrote a column about that. Andre Markgraf and Frans Steyn were very happy. No one else. Everyone said, please give the Lions another chance. How many more chances do we give those guys?
Logistically, I don't think the Cheetahs thing would work though, right? If you brought the Cheetahs in. I mean, if you put them to replace the Lions maybe, but if you added a fifth South African team.
No, you can't because then how many double derbies do we have to play? Mm. So that way we will go to five. Ireland wouldn't allow it.
No.
So, I mean, it's just we need help.
You said Black Lions, mate.
I like the Black Lions from Georgia. It's basically the national team as well.
Mate, can you imagine the scrums?
Imagine that going to Tbilisi.
Oh.
Just for one gap. No, then you have to go to Dublin. And then come back.
But mate, can you imagine if you the Black Lions, every single away game is on another continent?
Basically, eh?
Yeah.
They've played in the Challenge Cup. They've had a couple of wins. They did good. Black Lions, we call them the Hungry Lions.
I like that.
So, yeah, we break for this weekend's Champions Cup and Challenge EPCR Challenge Cup finals in Cardiff. But looking at the URC, which is our primary competition.
Our bread and butter.
Our bread and butter. South African's bread and butter. And obviously in Japan, we have to look there because off our box over there.
Yeah.
So there were big, there's everything basically finished in Japan. It's now into the playoff stages.
Yep.
We're into the playoff stages. New Zealand, Australia, effectively two rounds away from the playoff. So good stuff going on in Super Rugby. And then obviously the top 40 in the competition that never ends.
Yeah. It goes on and
on. They play like 26 games, I think it is. Eh? Yep. And then into the playoffs and that. I think they finished, by the time we finished our third test match, they eventually finished the top 14. So some interesting results there. Our Steco power plays that we like to pick up, I've cast the net wide outside of Cape Town.
Okay. Outside of DHL Stadium.
But Steco, proud supporter of our show, and they all about sustainability. They're all about poor. I need more poor, Scotty. More than just generators. Check them out. But when I look at something rather special, Hotzenberg, 50 matches for the Stormers.
What a game, mate.
He's basically just broken past 21 years old.
I mean, how? 50?
50. Made it all. Started when he was 18. I believe he's a winner, not an outside sense. I think he's great under the high ball. The cross kick from Arnie Lebok to him to score. Man, play of the match on his 50th. He's one of my Steco plays. He's the one I take out of the URC. As I said, I've cast the net wide. For others,
I thought that was his best game, Suleiman.
Yeah, it looked more like the guy of two seasons ago.
Yeah, he looked so comfortable there, a bit of show and go. There was a bit of a sort of razzle dazzle to his game I haven't seen for a while, which I thought was great.
Maybe the key's Friday night footy in Cape Town.
It is, mate. Friday night footy in a milestone match.
And nearly 20,000 again, eh?
Yeah.
On a Friday night, 7 o'clock in Cape Town.
Freezing Friday night.
Yeah. I mean, averaging on the long weekends over 20,000 in Cape Town, saw this. This comment the other day that Edinburgh had sold out, 7,500, okay? and we're bemoaning in Cape Town if we get less than 25,000 for a normal game and the derbies are 45,000 plus. So incredible things going on with the Cape Town people who support their team.
Indeed.
And I'd like to see more of that in Durban and in Pretoria.
Yes, fair enough. Good shout out that. Back to the Steco power play. So there were a lot of great tries on the weekend. This one was brought to my attention by Imad Griffiths, the great. So the try by Marcel Kutsia for the Bulls on the weekend, where the Bulls basically break down the left touchline. It's inside passes. Bernard van der Linde, Sergio Peterson, Ron O'Keefe gets his hand on the ball, plays it inside. Marcel Kutsia over for the try. I thought that was a highlight for me, mate. I enjoyed that one. I know you found something in Super Rugby that you quite liked.
Yeah, John Lowe. That's not Jonah.
Yeah.
Jonah Lowe, and that's not James Lowe either. The Highlanders winner. Just a fantastic, fantastic try. It had all the elements. A fumble, a cross kick, a gather, a great handoff, an inside pass, an outside pass, an inside pass, try time. The Highlanders did lose, by the way. They are rooted at the bottom of the table. So that was a great one for me. And then another great one was Marcus Smith in the Premiership. Twinkle toes for Harlequins. One of those great individual Damy Vilsa type tries.
Stepped inside. Bit of a goose step.
That was a real Steco moment, mate.
Beautiful, mate. Eh? So which one are we going with? Obviously, Marcel Kutsia.
No, obviously, Hotzenberg. Wherever you're listening, you've won, okay? Yeah. You are a winner.
Yes.
We didn't even bother to look in the top 40, and the games ended too late. And in Japan, well, as Zales always says, it is Japan, eh?
Exactly.
Home of world champions.
Right.
So, okay, you're going to go with Marcel, eh?
Yeah.
And I'm for your Steco moment, and I'm going to go with Hotzenberg on his 50th play of the match. I'm going to give him another award. It's not a generator. It's just a Steco power play.
Beautiful.
All right. Now, URC, there's been the Boca Lyman camps. There's been a lot of news about that. Not so much for who race he's included necessarily, but for who he's omitted. Evan Ruiz. And I've read a lot about why he's not there. And let's not make a big fuss about it. My good mate Gavin Rich in Ruck and Roll. Always at Ruck and Roll.
It's a great picture of
him. Great picture of Gavi, eh? We'll get the mod to put that picture up. He said, Lyman Camp's just not the box squad. So come on, guys. Back it off. Keep calm. And Gav writes a very thoughtful piece. sure he's spoken to Rassi about it. Rassi's thinking. The only thing I would disagree with that is Gav says the reason Evan Rus may not be here is because of costs. But he lives in Cape Town. The alignment camp is in Cape Town. So unless he's thinking about Evan Rus's petrol, well, not to get to the Cullinan Hotel.
I think Evan's in the habit of Ubering, mate, so it could be quite
So yeah, I mean, 95% of that squad is what you expect from Rassi.
Yeah.
He may say it's a straight choice at the moment. It's Hanekom and Jasper or Rus, and Rus is third in the pecking order. I don't think it's got anything to do with a rugby decision. And it reminds me a bit of when Nick Mullet didn't choose Henny LaRue, and we've spoken about that often. When I asked him at a press conference, don't you think Henny LaRue's playing well? He said, yes, very well. I said, you're going to pick him? He said, no. I just don't want him in my squad and I don't rate him. So if that is the case, it's unfortunate for Evan Rus because it's not going to change anything.
Mm.
And the Bok coach gets to pick the team and he lives and dies by that sword.
Mm.
For me, though, is when a player is playing as well as Evan Rus is, he's 25 years old. He's in demand overseas. You really want to keep him in this country and playing for the Stormers or whichever other region he would come from.
Mm.
And I don't know if it sends out the right message to a player of that age, that quality, to say you're not in the alignment camp unless we're unaware of discussions that are happening behind the scenes. But I can't believe it's a rugby decision. What are your thoughts there?
No, I think it's definitely...
Zalameda?
Mate, I don't think it's a rugby decision at all. I don't think you have to read too much between the lines to know that... there's potentially a little bit of a personality clash between the two or some history. I don't think it's something that can't be resolved or won't be resolved. At the end of the day, one thing you can say about Rassi, if you had to pick a word for him, is he's a winner. And if you think somebody's going to help the team win, he's going to pick him. So I do think there is a lot of competition and increasing competition for that number 8 jersey in the box. This may be a win-win situation that gets the best out of Evan because... it's how he responds to this now. And maybe the Stormers are actually the beneficiaries of what happens next because I think he will have to respond to this and he will respond to this in the way that he plays. So I don't think the door is closed, but I certainly think it's more closed than for some other players. I agree with Gavin in the sense that you can't read too much. He brings up Sumpy Swickers as that Pumas prop that they brought up to the camp a couple of years ago, who we've never seen again. It's just reward for fine performances and other competitions, as is the case with the UCT winger. I don't think anybody there is a lock to stay in that squad. And I think with Rassi, you're always as good as your last game within reason. So it's about these guys that have got the shot ahead of Rus this time have just got to play their best rugby to stay there. And if they don't, Rus comes back into the picture. So,
but if you take Rassi as a player, you take Rassi as a coach, and you see all the many interviews he's done on his own podcast, in interviews, speaking to the squad, he speaks about what a dick he was at times as a player. His words, not mine. Telling the squad, don't be like I was when I was a player. And I think he's gone on record as saying that he wouldn't pick himself. Rassi, the coach, wouldn't pick Rassi, the player. So I'm hoping that if there is a bit of that element with an Evan Rus that Rassi feels he's looking at a young Rassi, is to use that experience, kind of guide it, and get it right. That would be a great victory for Rassi if he can turn this guy around, if he feels there is an issue. Because there's no issues with him in the camp in the Stormers. I mean, he's responded to the responsibility. He's certainly matured his game.
Mm.
I think we were both critical of, up until last season, that maybe he was trying too hard or trying to be too individual or everything had to be that the miracle pass, the offload, the break, and then his temperament. And he's really, really, he played 9 games on the trot. He played 80 minutes, start to finish in those 8. Took him off in 56 minutes, slight niggle. And they rested him for that last game because they were really needing for the playoffs. With no BJ Dixon, no Dion Farid there, he is critical to that.
Yeah.
To that the potential of the loose forwards. But if you can leave an Evan Rus out of your alignment camp and your extended squad of 54 players, then you're in a pretty strong position.
Indeed, mate. I mean, those Dupreer brothers have been in and around, but not really given opportunities for years. And those are two monster specimens. You looked at those guys on paper, height, weight, and some of their performances, you think, geez, these guys are shoo-ins for any other international team. So we are blessed with riches at loose forward.
Yeah, and I mean, Tokyo Augustus, we spoke about with that front of mind, semi-final performance against Leinster, because he could come back and counter argument and say,
yeah,
I think I may have shown the Bok coach that I can play at this level. Yeah. I basically just played the national team of Ireland, and we've beaten them in Dublin. So just good that there is that form of recognition.
Totally.
And the usual suspects from Japan, just great to see Luuk de Jager's name there. He is into those Japanese League One playoffs with Dukes. Damien, D-I-N-D. Wild Knights, I think they'll probably win it again. They're like a bit like the Crusaders over there, I think.
Yeah.
thing. They just win it like every year, every second year.
I don't know if, are they still Panasonic? I can't remember. Yeah, anyway.
I just know that they're always in the playoffs.
They're always in the mix. Yeah.
They're always there.
But Cheslin's out, Suntory, Sun Goliath out.
Which will be good news for racing that a couple of those guys come back. Yeah. The only real ones that are going to still be involved will be Lewitt and
Damien and then Malcolm Marks.
And then Malcolm Marks, who's just been outstanding all season. He's just grown stronger and stronger. Once again, knowing when to peak.
Mm.
Good to see Eben back on the field.
It was a good transition.
And to start and finish the game.
Yeah.
Again, timing his run to perfection. Eh?
Perfect,
into
mate.
The playoffs and into the box season.
Perfect.
So, and that's what we want. We want him strong. I did say last week, he's going to take a sabbatical, do it this year.
Yeah.
But your team's never going to be weaker if Eben Etzebeth is in your second row and leading from the front. If we look at the URC's L's, we've decided to play a little game, and it's called Who's Going to Win It? We picked a form 15.
Yes.
Of players that have impressed us, individuals. So this is not a Springbok barometer. It's a Zellometer. The Zells meter.
The Kells meter.
But there's
mate.
Not because we don't have agreement, okay?
No,
so that's
don't.
The cool thing.
That is true.
So just again, and you guys can go onto the comment section. You can tell us what your form team is, but not a Bok team. This isn't we saying this is the team that should play for the Springboks. We are rewarding tournament form.
URC specific.
URC specific. And the criteria is the player has to have played at least 9 of the 18 matches. 50% is a fair kind of, and primarily in one position as well. So a guy like Damien Willemsen is not making our team because he's played 9 games, but he's played them at fly-off, he's played them at center, and he's played them at fullback. So for purposes of rewarding individuals, we're going to look at a guy who's played 15 matches at fullback, for example, and say, you're the one that did it for us, or 12 matches at center. So I just want people to know the criteria, because the first is going to be, how can you leave out person X? Well, because they didn't play 9 matches in the URC.
Yes.
Do we understand that?
We do.
Okay, do you want to kick off, bud?
Okay, so let's start at fullback. It was a more difficult choice than I thought. I'll say that for me, Willie LaRue has been a standout performer in the URC this season. And in a year where he could have kind of tailed off a bit, he found a second wind and was the life and heartbeat of that Bulls side in terms of their tactics. So he was superb. But I went at fullback with Warwick Gallant, who I think has been sensational in a season where they've had to play without key playmakers and key missing pieces up front. He still managed to dazzle and razzle without leaking tries. And I mean, his defense, mate, some of his hits, some of his turnovers, spectacular. Great playmaker, gambler, but superb when it strikes. And for me, he's been the form fullback in the URC of the South African teams.
So you get your nod at 15.
He's mine.
Okay, so I looked early season form. Apeleli Fassi, outstanding. Willie, some big games. Moved into 10, going so well. Then he was out for a couple of games through injury or recovering from a surgery. But 100% agree with you, Zells. Warwick Gallant, he does so much off the ball. He does so much that you don't always see on television because it follows the ball. He's such a big player for the Stormers. And like you said, no Marnie Lebok there, no Damien Willemsen there, no Sasha there for a long time. This guy was doing it on his own for big parts of the season. And has made some big, big plays for the Stormers. He also gets my vote at 15.
Hey, there we go. Okay, pick your 14. Who's
my 14? Oh, what do you think? Kane and Moody. The end.
Really? Okay.
The end.
Okay. How many games did he play?
Enough.
Okay. So my
he played more than he qualifies.
Did he? Okay. My right wing, originally I was going to go for Edwell Funamadiba, even though he doesn't play right wing for the Lions, but he was sensational, scored 8 tries. I've always been a huge fan of his. But I'm pretty set on who I'm taking at left wing. And given that Edwell didn't actually play right wing during the season, I've gone with a guy who did play some right wing, played wing for most of the season, who for me was probably the breakout player of the season for the South African teams, and that's Ethan Hooker. I've picked him on the right wing. Ideally, I'd have him play him in the centers, but he didn't play there much this season, and he's been sensational. So I've got him in the 14 jersey.
Okay, well, I've got Hooker in my 11 jersey. Where he has
great play. Choice, mate.
And like you say, interchangeable, both him and Kanan.
Yeah.
They could swap during the game.
Yeah.
We're very blessed with some of the winners we've got. Hartzenberg has shown flashes when he's played there. Zels, very, very good with ball in hand. work rate not always the best. Areas of his game can still improve. But Pimpy's been very good. Sebastian de Klerk's played well. So, but for me, Hooker has just been sensational. In a side that hasn't hit its straps, he's always been that individual performer. I think he's got areas of his game he has to work on once they decide where they want to play him in terms of defensive alignments, etc. You'll play for the box this year and you'll be there around injuries permitting. When I say that, meaning he doesn't get injuries, he's going to be around for the next decade playing for South Africa. And I see him as the natural replacement to someone like Damian Dialandi. One gets phased out father time, the other one comes in. But for now, slot him in on left or right wing or in the midfield. He's there.
Okay, so you've got Moody on the right wing and you've got Ethan Hooker on the left wing. I've got Hooker on the right wing. My left wing is the leading try scorer in the URC. I think he's tied with another bloke. 9 tries, Leland Zas, class finisher, physical runner, and has got, I think, a little bit more panache to his game than people really recognize. I think he's a hell of a talent. So Zas is on my left wing.
All right, that's great. Into the midfield we go.
Yes.
You're 13 and 12. And again, we haven't looked at combinations. This isn't a Bok team. This is just which 13 has impressed you the most, which 12 has impressed you the most, and also based on what they've done for their teams. So somebody could have rocked in a team that's won 13 games, and some guy is just heroic in a team that basically battles to get a win. So I keep on emphasizing for people who are listening or watching, when you put your own little team there, bear that in mind. We're not asking you for who's the best player necessarily, who's the Bok, or what's the best combination, who's coming off the bench. It's like if you looked at the season, you said, in your position, you rocked it for your team, not necessarily for South Africa.
Yes.
You're 13.
So I'm going to stick with who I picked, which is Jorenzo Julius, young player of the year, fantastic player. Explosive. Every time he touches the ball, it feels like time slows down. This kid just flies. Absolutely magnificent talent. And I think has added a real sharp edge to that Sharks backline, along with Ethan Hooker, bright future.
Okay, I've gone with another very fine young prospect. He had a breakout season 2 seasons ago. Struggled with some injuries. Fortunately, some would say, up north. Unfortunately, some would say, who really rate him. Henko van Wyk, he was playing for another team that had more success, had a bit more class on the inside and outside. I think he carries that backline often. I think he also feels that burden for such a young player that he's got a spark and he's got to perform all the time and he's heavily marked. Mm. Old Monument boy, they could do with him in that school's rugby tide at the moment. They are struggling this season. But I've gone with Henko van Wyk, and his big thing is to stay injury-free. And another guy who could potentially force himself into a box squad late on in the year. He was there 2 years ago, suffered injuries. Mm. Again, I know there's certain defensive elements that they feel he's got to work on, but it's such a natural talent. Reminds me a lot of Ethan Hooker in kind of his explosiveness. But I think playing for a line side, they were so inconsistent and battled at times, he really did do well. Mm. So I've gone with, and also to show that I'm not all Cape Town. I do recognize game and quality players.
Indeed. You've got your red glasses on today, mate.
Well, these actually Stormers glasses. The red is the Stormers, okay? Always had a hint of red
in there. I'm trying to help him.
Now, I see you got your all black kit on, always at the Sharks. Okay, so I've got him as my 13, and I'll go straight into my 12.
Go straight in, mate. Don't hold back.
And I would like to pick Andre the Giant. He's had his best season in a while here, given that he was overseas for about 5 with Harlequins. But I've gone for a famous name. A guy that does...
Donnie Gerber.
Yeah, exactly. And no one's going to argue with that either, okay?
Great choice.
Not even Anton DuPont, you know. you see that meme? Yeah. How to read. Yeah. How to play a brilliant rugby.
Yeah.
Anton DuPont reading the book written by Donnie Gerber. The only thing is, we know Donnie Gerber wouldn't write a book. You have to go look at the video highlights. But I've gone with Dan Duplessis.
Oh, that's a great choice.
Son of Michael Duplessis, magnificent fly-off center, a maverick, the nephew of Carl Duplessis, the Prince of Winds, the cousin of Jean-Luc Duplessis. So you can imagine those family Sundays, how those two oaks used to climb into each other, barefoot and with a ball. But he's one of those unsung heroes in Cape Town and for the Stormers. Week in, week out, it's the Damians, the Sashes, the Sinatlas, the Zasses, that get the headlines. And Dan Dupes, head down, fearless.
Mm.
Played most of the season at 12, can play at 13 as well. Maybe just a yard too slow for Test rugby.
Mm.
But I don't think he would ever let a team down if he was put in there. He reminds me so much of a Dick Muir type player.
Mm.
The gel brings that team together. Good old Polaris boy. Even Sasha showed that Polaris and Bishops can play together. They always have to play against each other. But yeah, I've gone with Dan Duplessis. And again, I'm talking what his value for the Stormers in the URC. And we're not talking Springbok selection here.
Yeah.
But I just think he's been outstanding.
Model of consistency is old Dan Duplessis. Great choice.
But you haven't picked him.
I have not picked him, mate. I have not picked him. I've gone with Andre the Giant, mate. He's my 12. He has been consistent in that he's been available and playing for the Sharks throughout the season. Obviously, massive body, big fella who can take them forward. And that's what he's done this year. He's stuck to the basics of that position. And he's tried to sort of create some order out of the chaos that the Sharks have manufactured in their helter-skelter rugby. So I think if he hadn't been around there, I think things could have got quite messy. And the fact that Jorenzo Julius has performed like he has outside him is a credit to Andre, because there's been some chaos inside of Andre Esterhazen from the halfbacks, not really stabilizing things. So I think he's done a great job, and that's why I pick him as my 12.
Would you like to talk us into the halfbacks and then take us into the forwards?
Right, mate. The most important positions tactically, 10 and 9. I don't know how there can be any other choice than the man I've chosen at 10, which is Sasha Fineberg and Gormazulu. Radio has just been absolutely full blast this year. Outstanding. Every time he touches the ball, it's amazing things happening. Never before seen things, unprecedented things. It's exciting to watch him play. It almost brings a bit of the fan back out of you. You know, when you've been covering the game for so long, it can get quite sort of run of the mill, but this is a guy that just absolutely is exciting to watch. And I think the Stormers are capable of winning any game from anywhere at any time because he can manufacture points at will. So glorious to watch him. Fantastic player. I'm going to go straight into my 9 while I'm here. You can pick your 10 and 9. I went with Krappi, Morne van den Berg, heart and soul of the Lions team. Without him, they're not the same thing. There's another guy who's able to sort of make the team with more than the sum of their parts. So fabulous, fabulous player. I think he's also got a big, bright future with the Springboks.
Look, I mean, Sasha is, he's got the Sonny Boy Williams effect. You actually just want to go and watch because you just don't know what he's going to do. But it's going to be special.
Yeah.
And he is a breath of fresh air. And never stop doing it. Never stop doing what you're doing, mate. That'd be my consistent message. We're blessed to have him in Cape Town for now, the Stormers. And certainly blessed that he plays for the Springboks and not the All Blacks.
Yeah.
Or anyone else.
Yeah.
So I've gone with him. Sasha, obviously, it's a no-brainer for me. And equally... Morne van den Berg.
Oh, you mean, okay.
Yeah, just, I mean, I love Ron Williams and the way he plays. He has a lot of injuries. He's battled. He's been out of the game. But the value that Morne is to the Lions, I mean, this is a guy that just week in and week out, he reminds me of Sergio Parisi when he's playing for Italy.
Yeah.
He just knows it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But he carries that team. So yeah, he's my 9 as well. And it's, I think it's great to see him in the box mix as well. Guy's never going to let you down. He may not have the X factor of a Faf de Klerk or the pace of a Grant Williams or maybe even the all-round game of a Hendrickson, Jaden, but he is a quality player. And I think the best of the Lions.
Agreed. Nice. Let's go to the pack. What do you got there? Let's start with
Well, obviously, eight. I mean, I'm not going to go with the same guy that you go with because I'm going with a quality 8 instead of Evan Riss. His name's Evan Riss, and I'm picking him at 8.
Mate, there's nothing wrong with picking Evan Riss at 8. I think 8 is going to be a position that is under a lot of competition in this season and the seasons to come leading up to the next World Cup, because Sia Kolisi switched to 8 this year, has been playing fantastic rugby. Evan Riss is in the mix. Franco Horn, when he's healthy and in his best form, great player. Visa, Jasper, powerhouse. Jono Augustus is now in the mix. You can rattle off a bunch of other names.
And are we talking about the URC form?
I'm just saying there's a lot of players who can fight for that position.
I'm not talking about the box.
In
though.
The URC, you chose Evan Riss. I've gone with Cam Hunnicorn. Back-to-back great seasons for this bloke. Power runner. I think his future may be better suited to the box. I think they get more out of him potentially at 6. But fabulous at 8 and very much the linchpin for the... Bulls attack. So the go forward that they get from that set piece, Cam Hunnicorn is an expert at turning that into momentum, and kudos to him for that. So he's my choice at 8.
Look, I think Cam has been outstanding. Okay, And Sia has just been brilliant individually in a team that collectively has struggled. And I mean, he joked on the city, doesn't he? If it's big enough to play eight for the box, I mean, he can play eight for the box.
Yeah.
I just think it's we've seen a lot more of the all-round game of Sia Khaleesi. But Riss had the shoulder injury, the shoulder op, came back. Like I said, he played eight very important games for the Stormers in the URC, got into his ninth one with 56 minutes, was ward off one side, won the game and basically ensured top eight qualification. He's so vital to that Stormer setup,
yep.
Especially with the guys who are injured and not there. So great, great options that we've got at eight at the moment. Six, I've gone with Marcel Kutsia, a veteran. He's not going to play for the Springboks again. Rassie's made it quite clear. He's moved beyond him. Doesn't matter what he does, which doesn't mean we can't acknowledge him.
Exactly, mate.
And his performances for the Bulls on a different level, and he plays for that team and they play for him.
Mm.
And such a servant to the South African game. Again, one of those guys, you know, 21 years old when he made his debut and he's playing for the Sharks. And you just think he's certainly the senior statesman now. And
no, he's been superb. Yeah.
And I think if we were ever in a pickle, you couldn't do worse than stick him into a box setup. But I don't think there's too much love there at a national level when it comes to him. And again, as I always say, that is any national coach's right. But our rights as commentators of the game, as supporters, is to have an opinion and to question things.
What a lovely statement.
As Jerry Springer once said, you'll be safe this week.
I also went with Marcel Kutsia at open side, but I will say he came under a little bit of pressure from a guy who I was surprised to even be thinking of. JC Pretorius had a great season for the Lions. Yes, mate, JC Pretorius. He was very good. Very good around the breakdown. A little bit like Quagga, I suppose. Probably a bit quicker than Quagga. And obviously very much a sevens player, but added real value to the team. And then a guy who's coming through, obviously Paul de Villiers at the Stormers, but Renzo Duplessis, who's in the Bok alignment camp. Very exciting player for the future. None of those guys stacked up to Marcel Kutsia, though. He is my first choice at open side flank.
All right, you go with seven?
Seven, I went Vince Chituka. I was surprised there that we had to think about, you know, who are the actual front runners for this thing. But Vince, I think, is a very underrated riser in the national setup. Now that he qualifies to play for the box, him and his boot, Manny Chituka, are going to be great, I think. And Vince Chituka, I think, leads the URC in lineout steals, or he's right up there. So he's a lineout weapon. He is a monster with the ball in hand, and he is a unit. I mean, he is supersized and he can run. So I think this is a guy that's going to be pushing a couple of blokes around in terms of the pecking order, and he is my choice for seven in light of the fact that we had injuries at seven with BJ being out for a bit. Obviously, Peter Steph Du Toit overseas. Kubus Visa had a few games there, was good, and then Ruan Nokia ended up at seven for a bunch of the season as well. So Vince Chituka was my choice.
Yeah, and Ruan Nokia looking comfortable at seven. We spoke last week, the Franco Mossa type role. Starts off as a five lock, ends up can play four, ends up playing seven. Just great options that he's enhanced his box standings.
Did you see his nickname? No. Sop Leopold. That's what Jake called him.
Soup Smith.
Yeah.
Okay. Sop Leopold. I wonder why. Get on to Yakos and ask him.
That is fantastic.
When we looked at the eights and we're like, wow, how do you actually not pick Cameron in my place? Well, not pick Sia. And go for Evan Riss. How do you leave one? When I looked at seven, there was only one. And it was Vince.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just been outstanding.
Yeah.
He's just been there every match. I think it's like 15 games that he's played.
Yeah.
12 in the URC and the three in the Champions Cup. But he's been outstanding. So he's for me, comfortable selection.
Nice. Let's go Locks.
I didn't even have to think about it. I just wanted you to spell his surname.
Never going to happen.
Locks, I've gone with a very talented young man, 21 years old, Jaya Faneta from the Bulls. I think he is the future. Big things will come from this guy. 21. Most guys hit their straps at 26, 27. We are so blessed when it comes to loose forwards and locks in this country. Second rowers. And I'm so glad he's in the mix. I want him to be playing for the Springboks. I don't want him to go to France and do a Paul Willemsen within 3 years be playing for France or for Scotland or for Wales. Imagine what New Zealand would do with a kid like that. I mean, if you have aspirations to play Test rugby and be a winner, and you're a second rower in this country, and you think, I'm number five in the pecking order, just take a trip to New Zealand, mate. You'll be wearing black against Greg Rawlinson.
I was going to say, mate, you took the words out of my mouth.
And he won in a test match. Greg Rawlinson and Troy Flavel with a lock combination in Durban. And we had Victor Matford and Buckies. Some of they beat us. I don't think they won a lineup ball, but they beat us over that day. So I've gone with him as my five lock. And I've gone with Samar Murat as my four lock. I really think he has stood up in the last 2 months. He's led brilliantly. His work rate has been exceptional. Fortunately, he stayed injury-free because that guy puts his body on the line. An inspiration to the Stormers, inspiration to the people of the city. And a lot of people question, why is he in the box setup? You go speak to his regional coaches and his forward coaches. You speak to Rassi. They rate him on leadership play. Again, patience we spoke about last week. We expect our under-21s, under-20 youngsters to just basically be there the next year or 2 years later. He's growing into a man, being the schoolboy dominant bully as such. He's now kind of starting to play like the guy who captain Paul Boy's eye, captain SS schools, SS under 20. So he's my forelock.
Okay, well, we are aligned in our choices in the second row. Exactly the same. I went Salman Murat and I went Jay Van Heerden. I'm on the same train with Moon. I think what excited me about him as a schoolboy is the nasty edge that he had. He was just out there hurting people's sons on the field. It was fantastic to watch. He was a real enforcer. And I haven't seen that from him on the pro sort of level. And I wanted to see more of that from him. And it's starting to come out again. He's starting to get that hard edge. He hurt somebody at a ruck. I think it was an attacking breakdown. He just smoked some oak. Dared to put his shoulders in there, and it was fabulous to watch. There's a couple of weeks in a row where I've seen Moon do that, and I like that nasty edge. That's what excited me about him. So I want to see more of that. Less smiling, more hurting. So Moon back in the mix there. I'd have him at four, and JF definitely at five. Ruan Nokia would be the guy that people are surprised that isn't there, but he just didn't play enough at five this season. And then Ruben Van Heerden is another guy you'd have to consider. JD Schickeling could also play there, but I think we did the right thing there. Moon and JF Van Heerden are the right guys. So off to the front row.
Okay, front row, if you want to give me your tight end and your loose head.
Yeah, I went
with the hooker.
Cool. I went Wilco at tight end. I think he picks himself there. It's a no-brainer. In Club Akanya, very, very good, but Wilco is arguably the best tight end in the world at the moment. And then at loose head prop, it was. I wouldn't say it was a difficult choice, but it was interesting that Ox wasn't just the first name that popped into my mind there, but I did end up going with Ox. Played a bunch of games for the Sharks this season and was the one constant performer.
Okay, so I Nietling for sure, obviously.
Nietling also.
Big in my mind.
Yeah.
All-round, I think he's got all the all-round attributes. Mr. Month, most absurd suspension.
Yeah.
That would probably be the only thing that counted against him. And then the fact that he also had, just for bits, he had Brock Harris there. He had Franz Malhaber there, okay, but a heat of him. So we're talking value to the team. It was, people still say he's maybe one dimension, doesn't add too much, but I just couldn't go beyond Will Curlow's scrumming power. He just destroyed teams.
Just wrecks teams.
And you talk about the impact that a Sasha has.
Yeah.
Or Cezanne Colby on the win or Sasha at 10. Every time there was a scrum, you just wanted to see this guy packed down on his own.
Yeah.
And just destroy someone.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. Yeah. I mean, just to watch that scrum engage.
Yeah.
I mean, I still love that story, even though it wasn't, well, it was URC. It was the Munster game when they were reduced to uncontested scrums and Will Curlow looked at Jean Klein, the Springbok who plays for Munster, and he said, "Is it serious? Is it for real that this guy's injured? Is he really injured?" He said, "Yes, I wonder." But yeah, I think he's been fabulous, man.
No, he's been incredible. I really don't know like how much more a tight head prop can do to get a unanimous selection. I mean, he's been fabulous.
And then Jan Hendrik Wessels, again, oxen chair. We're not talking about the Springbok starting. I looked at what Jan Hendrik did. Starting, coming off the bench, he primarily played at loose head for the Bulls. It's been his breakthrough season. Jake's managed him particularly well over three seasons. And yeah, so he's in my form US South African URC team, which again, I'm not saying I would start him ahead of Oxen Chair for the Springboks.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his league performances.
Yes.
And he gets that my vote and goes straight into hooker. His teammate, Krobis, Johan Krobler gets my vote and hooker as well. So quite nicely spread across all four clubs. Your one position still open is your hooker on the Zellmeter. Who is it?
Mate, I was thinking about Krobis and then I thought about Bongi Mbonambi and how many games he's played for the Sharks. And I think people don't recognize his value. And probably he's going to think I don't recognize his value because the person that I choose at hooker this week is actually Aka Funimaava. I think he's been superb off the bench, mate. The Warthog. He's been amazing. Scored some great tries for the Bulls. And although he's getting on in years, he adds massive value. So that's where I went.
So basically, all three Bulls are Kazoi now. We've got Jan Hendrik.
Yeah.
Prop hooker.
Yeah.
Robbie's and got Ake.
Perfect, mate.
They share the load, eh? They share the load. Interesting, like a little stat that I was copying up the stats over the weekend on the Bulls and the Stormers. And I think it's worth repeating and kind of reinforcing is just how consistent both those squads have been over 4 years in the URC.
Yeah.
So you've had the Stormers two top four, top two placement, and now two fifth places. They've won 46 of their games in the URC out of 72, and the Bulls have won 48. They've lost 22, the Bulls have lost 24, and the Stormers have had the four draws. But they've had 243 league points, an average of 61 rounded off in the season. The Bulls 245 rounded off at 61. Now, there's been three URC finals, two hosts in Cape Town, one host in Pretoria, and the first ever finals between those two teams. I mean, I think it's just a fantastic credit to the rugby up north and the rugby down south. And I kind of built my Sunday Times column around it before the Bulls had even played. And it was when rugby's strong in the north in Pretoria and it's strong in Cape Town, the Bok rugby's generally strong.
Correct.
That was pre-Japanese days.
Yes.
We could send guys over there for like that kind of sabbatical. But we don't give those two regions enough credit for their performances in the URC.
Yeah.
The Sharks from 14th to third, great achievement. And
turnaround, and
the Lions, unfortunately, he's in a role to start with, just don't have the depth. But those two teams, the Bulls, Jake White's Bulls, and John Dobson's Stormers, well, they fly the flag for us and they have done consistently. Mm. And I think they've been brilliant.
They have been.
And then you look at the Uffies are doing well in the schoolboy setup. Obviously, Paul Jim, Paul Ruiz, Paul Boys, strong down here. Tuckies, Ikeys, Marty's. It's looking good. You look at all those depths. And
The interesting thing is like some of the lesser known schools are starting to push through and have real credible, consistent rugby programs. Like you spoke about Stellenberg the other day.
Yeah, I mean, Stellenberg and like I said to Gary von Lochenberg has done a lot with Stellenberg and Borland. So he's linked with Sanlam and obviously they headline sponsors. Stellenberg competed their first ever four successive wins against the traditional big four in the southern suburbs, which is Rondebosch, Weinberg, Saxon, and then they beat Bishops 38-13 at the Piley Reese. So again, while those schools generally are not on par with a Paul Roos or a Boys High or Kim, it's still a big achievement for a school from the northern suburbs to come and do all four away from home in a season. So there's some great things going on there, and there are also great things going on in Burlington. How unfortunate for them, 31-29 defeat in the SA Cup against the Pumas away from home. Willant, 3 seasons ago, just the whipping boys of everything, a bit like the mighty elephants.
Mm.
And it just shows with the right people involved, the right structures, identification of right players, the right partnerships, they're in the Curry Cup.
Spot on.
They'll be playing that derby against Western Province again, and it's great to see. So, and they're a great feeder for the Bulls who have that professional partnership with them. And then the SA Cup, obviously, Frans Steyn, again, a huge improvement, 41-38 to Griquas. I don't think anyone expected outside of the Cheetahs to win. I don't think it would be that close. But yeah, a great SA Cup competition as well. And shows we're going to have four decent sides in that Curry Cup.
Big time.
That play against the traditional four.
Yeah.
Or you know what's left of them when they take the URC players out.
Mm.
So generally speaking, just a great, healthy time for South African rugby. We know the Investec Champions Cup, Cardiff big weekend. Friday night, it's Lyon up against Bath. It's our South African representation. Newspapers are fluttering away. Gav's had enough of us. Okay. And it's Johan van Kroon's Bath. Thomas de Toy will be there. Louis Schroeder, Blast from the Past. Another Paul Ruiz Oak as well. They're just everywhere. And and I've got Bath to win.
You're making it up as you go
along. And I got Bath to win 32-22. Against Lyon. I don't think those fringe shows can play away from home, and I think Bath can.
I think that is going to be decisive, the venue. I think the Cardiff thing is going to play a part in against the French teams. I think the narrative suggests that Van Kroon is headed for a trophy. So I'm going to pick Bath to beat Lyon. I think it'll be close. I'm going to say a 26-20 win for Bath.
And then the big one of the European season. There's no Toulouse. There's no Leinster. There's no Stormers. There's no Bulls. There's no Sharks. There's no Leicester. There's no Saracens. There's no Toulon. But there is Bordeaux up against Northampton Saints. Henry Pollock, everyone's coming to see the same play. It's great that we've got new youngsters on the scene. I still can't believe the Saints are in the final. Torquay Augustus and the boys are winning the Saints. Got Martini. And I think Bordeaux are too good to lose. So I've got Bordeaux to win 35.
Too good to lose.
35-26.
35-26.
Yeah, they score a lot of tries, Bordeaux, but they also give up a lot.
Okay.
35-26. Northampton will be gutsy. I think they played their final. And that was an incredible win again in Dublin. They've won at Loftus. They won in Dublin. But they're not going to be winning in Cardiff.
None of the players from Bordeaux are going to be playing on this Lions series. That's not news to anybody who knows anything about the Lions. Northampton have got a few blokes that are going to be playing in the Lions series. I think Northampton did fire their biggest, best shot to get to this final. I'm not sure they've got what it takes to win this final. I'm picking Bordeaux to go all the way and to beat Northampton by 12 points.
Give me a score.
The score will be 34-22.
And you don't get it wrong when it comes to champions.
It's impossible. I can't get it wrong.
And you don't get it wrong when it comes to Friends Club Rugby.
Never.
You just know your beans there. Now, do you know your Super Rugby?
Super Rugby, man.
Because we are now down to the back end of Super Rugby Pacific. Does that thing ever end? But some great results again, some great performances. Great to see the Aussie teams. Brumbies top of the
Brumbies
table.
Brumbies tops, mate.
But a game in hand, do the Crusaders and the Chiefs have. So it's a good chance that
they'll get overtaken.
Yeah, and the Brumbies will end third, which is decisive for home ground advantage in a final. Because if the Brumbies host in Canberra, they'd be hard to beat there. But good interest because you've got the Aussies competitive. It's not an extended domestic New Zealand competition.
Yes.
But the guy who just keeps on doing it, Artie Sevier, Moana Pacifica, they've taken over the North Shore, North Harbour Stadium. It's now the new Battle of the Bridge. Auckland Blues against Moana.
Superb.
They beat the Blues 27-21 on the weekend. Artie was everywhere. He did everything. Even putting up a touch find of about 60 meters. And for the first time, they've got a system where they've officially, Super Rugby Pacific, they pick a player of the match and they give a score rating to it, a player of the round.
Okay.
And he is already the winner with two rounds to go.
My goodness.
He is the first ever Super Rugby Pacific player of the year. And if you think about the impact he's had on Pacifica, I think it's been great for the game.
Oh, it's been huge.
It's been great for New Zealand rugby. And I keep on saying it, Zells. I'm getting a wee bit nervous about September. I think they're going to come with something, these Oaks, eh?
You worried about them?
Well, I'm always worried about the All Blacks because they're the All Blacks. Well, they wear black.
Yeah.
Please play an alternative strip.
Yeah.
No, I really think that we've seen the worst of them under Fozzie, and that Robertson also inherited a lot of that. And he had a season which was indifferent, 10 wins out of 14, which would still be a good season for most teams. And, you know, winning in Dublin, winning at Twickenham, cleaning the Aussies out, running us very close in Cape Town and in Johannesburg. To me, it'll be an incredible achievement for us to get a 2-0 series win there. I wouldn't be surprised for 1-1. But this, I think New Zealand are coming. And I think Australia have improved immeasurably with their new restructured Super Rugby teams and some very fine players coming out. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's going to be as easy as some people think for the British and Irish Lions in Australia.
No, I think that series is going to be great. Two equally matched teams, probably C-grade teams at this point. I think Australia are definitely better than they were, but they were E-grade. They're now up to C. The Boks are A-plus when they want to be. And I think the All Blacks are going to be a solid B. I think they will have improved. I don't think they could be much worse. But I still don't see the answers to the questions on who's going to play in the second row. What is the depth in the back row? Who are they starting at 10? What decisions are they making around that? I still haven't seen those answers. I'm not sure about them. I do think I concur with you on the Boks having a tough time of it. But I think that's going to have more to do with us transitioning from the team that won the last World Cup to the team that wins the next World Cup. And so there will be some teething pains there. I think that might be a little bit more of the leveler than necessarily the All Blacks being better. But Super Rugby's been great. The Tana Umaga, Artie Sevier narrative has been excellent for that competition to sell it. The James O'Connor show in Christchurch gives it an Aussie level of interest, and will he play for the All Blacks? Will he play for the Wallabies again? And how does all of that stick together? I think there's been some good storylines in Super Rugby, but I think the proof is going to be in the eating of the pudding.
And any tournament that has Macca Springer on the win.
Has Macca Springer, mate.
And your mate Severisi is now tied. 65 tries.
There we go. They've got to roll out the bus next week again.
With TJ Perenara. It's incredible, for us going off to have 65 tries.
Amazing, mate.
And then obviously the bus of,
just goes to show you never pass the ball.
No. Inside, outside. But looking at that and going back to the British and Irish Alliance, it is an incredible event. Every 4 years they tour. We get them every 12 years. Currently, though, I would rank them third when you look at the home unions. I would say Ireland individually and England individually are stronger than the best British and Irish Lions team they can put out. And that's going to be the key for Farrell, is to try and find 15 to 23 players that he feels can gel, that doesn't weaken a side. You know, when Danny Kerr said Leinster are stronger than Ireland because they got Achilles Neyman and Geordie Barrett, in addition to the whole Irish team, I feel Ireland, and to a lesser degree England, are stronger than the British and Irish Lions.